Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, May 5th, 2026, Feliz Cinco de Mayo, for anyone who celebrates. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 35. We will be reading the third paragraph. We told him what we knew of alcoholism through one paragraph ending in, he would lose his family from whom he had a deep affection. Today's readers are, and thanks everyone for your service, Alice G., Judy N., Leah F., on the 12 Steps, Adrienne N., Anne Marie M. on the Traditions, and our newcomer greeter, Julie M., and our host, Tony B. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 23,427, and the 10 a.m., 23,428. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry that message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Adrienne N. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Adrienne.
Okay, the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Adrienne. And I will now ask for Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Anne Marie.
Good morning. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence required for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 35, the third paragraph, starting with we told him what we knew of alcoholism, going through that one paragraph. Ending in, moreover, he would lose his family for whom he had a deep affection. And I am going to ask Alice G. to get us started. Can't wait, Alice. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, all. Alice G., recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. We told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we had found. He made a beginning. His family was reassembled, and he began to work as a salesman for the business he had lost through drinking. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, he found himself drunk a half a dozen times in rapid succession. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. He agreed he was a real alcoholic and in serious condition. He knew he faced another trip to the asylum if he kept on. Moreover, he would lose his family for whom he had a deep affection. I am Jim. How many times did I hang around Vision for You, get a sponsor, think I was abstinent, and was I really abstinent? Had I gotten entirely abstinent from all my alcoholic foods? No. Had I surrendered to weighing and measuring all my foods? No. I just tried to find an easier, softer way. Honestly, that was my story. And I think with Jim too, what I can relate to is he agreed he was a real alcoholic and in serious condition, and he was afraid of losing his family, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And I can do that too, even today, being abstinent for several years in this program, thanks to God. If I don't keep on my spiritual path, if I don't continue to take personal inventory every day, I will get restless, irritable, and discontented. I will fall back into my character defects, which is why we continue, right, to do those inventories. And I'll have trouble. I could eat again. I could drink again. I could fall short and lose my connection with God. And sometimes I still do feel like I lose my connection with God. But I keep pressing on. I keep that commitment to sit down every night and continue to take that personal inventory. And if I am having difficulties throughout the course of the day, I stop, drop, and figure out what's going on. Just like if my whole body was on fire, I would stop everything, drop everything, and get down on the ground and roll, right? That's how we take our 10-step inventory too. We stop everything and pray and ask God to remove those defects of character and inventory them. as well as taking time every morning and to enlarge my spiritual path, to try to connect with God, to listen for that still small voice and get some direction for the day. If I don't do that, my day feels off. I'm just off the beam. I'm not connected. And that's when I run into those character defects as well. So I can relate to Jim totally. All three of these guys in this chapter were sober. And then they picked up again. And that's a huge lesson to us, that we can be abstinent and pick up again. We need this program. We need each other. And the directions are right here in this book for all of us to read and practice together. I'm not alone anymore, thanks to you guys. So very grateful to be here, and I'll pass with that. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Alice G., so much for getting us started. All right. We'd like to take some names and names and who would like to share on what was read. A friendly reminder, if you have shared in the last 2 days, namely Monday or Friday on any of the vision meetings, yes, if you don't mind, you could please step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope as well. So who would like to share on what was read?
Leia
S. Yeah, Marie
M. Arlen G.
Melissa C.
Reba P.
Tony G.
Lisa C.
Karen K. Leia S.
Leia, I got you, Harlan. I got Leia, Harlan, Melissa, Karen K., PP. Who did I miss?
Anne Marie.
Tony B.
And I think there was one person I missed before Tony. Who is that? Okay. This is who I have: Leia S, Harlan G, Melissa C, Karen K, Pete B, Anne Marie M, and Tony B. All right, great lineup. Let's get rolling. Leia S, you're up, followed by Harlan G.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for your service. My name is Leia S, and I am recovered in Brooklyn, New York. What a packed paragraph. So the first two sentences are, I am told of what an addiction I have. And what the answer was for others, and if I could find that answer. And I started making a beginning is I started understanding that I needed my higher power to actually form and become an action for me. This higher power had to have meaning for me. And then when it says in the paragraph that I needed to enlarge my spiritual life, that means I really had to go thoroughly through steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And then I had to come to the conclusion, the consternation, that I can find myself addicted again if I do not practice steps 10, 11, and 12. And this is serious for me. The word serious is such a powerful word, because if I don't take this very, very honestly to my heart, then I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm not going to be, if I don't be truthful to myself, then how can I make you understand what I believe in? And I don't know. I don't want to go into one and another, but I could talk and on and on and on. But thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. All right, Harlan G., you're up.
Thanks, Amy. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Let's take a look at this paragraph. It's very revealing. We told him what we knew of alcoholism. What did we know about alcoholism? We know that it's a physical allergy, and we know that it's a twist of the mind. So they're telling him what they learned from Silkworth. Notice also that it says we, because we're going to come back to that in just a second. And the answer we had found, step two. So they told him about step one. They told him about step two. And now he made a beginning, which is step three. Step three is referred to as a beginning and a decision. He made a beginning. So he's worked the first three steps. How do you work the first three steps? You don't. They are conclusions of the mind. His family was reassembled, and he began to work as a salesman, blah, blah, blah. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. How do you do that? 4 through 12 every day for the rest of your life. And if you don't do that, you're just dieting with group support, as we know. Now, he found himself drunk a half a dozen times in rapid succession. Now, here's something that's important, because a lot of people say, where in the big book does it say that if someone keeps getting drunk, you have them work with someone else? It doesn't say, I worked with him. It says, we worked with him. We worked with him. They passed him around. Remember that this referred to Ralph Furlong, who wrote Another Prodigal Son. Now, there is a publication that came out a few years ago that disputes that it was Ralph Furlong, but it doesn't matter whether it was or not. When someone gets drunk a half a dozen times in rapid succession, there you go, am I really helping that person? I'm not really sure I am. I don't think so. So here's what's important here, too. He faced another trip to the asylum. We have to stop thinking about a nice sterile hospital where they're nice to you and they help you. Asylums were draconian, punishing, horrible places. The things that happened to men in there 100 years ago were nightmarish. And the things that happened to women in there are infinitely worse. They are the things that horror films and horror novels are made of. The things that happened in those places were horrible. That's why we thank God every day that Bill Wilson ended up in the Towns Hospital. Towns Hospital was a hospital. It was not an asylum. And he had all of these consequences in front of us, like we all do. And yet, in the face of every reason under God's earth not to drink anymore, we're going to learn on the next page, the first sentence is, yet he got drunk again. So it doesn't matter what he learned. It doesn't matter what he knew. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life, and that means he got drunk again. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for your service, Amy.
Thank you, Harlan. Okay. Next up is, oh, that was Harlan G., Arizona. Next up, Melissa C., followed by Karen K.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, it's funny because when I read this, I do feel like I get some direction as a sponsor that I shouldn't take it personal if somebody picks up half a dozen times in rapid succession. And you know, and that the idea about we working with him, that we don't kick someone to the curb. We don't, you know, clearly he wanted this, you know, but he was struggling to put it into application. And I'm so grateful for the people in Overeaters Anonymous who didn't, you know, roll their eyes and mumble when I, you know, or treated me unkindly when I stumbled and fell and came back again and again. And whether it was the same sponsor who looked to help me or another sponsor, to me, that it was just the fact that people were willing to help, regardless of how many times I picked up, you know, because I know very few people who came in here and got well first time out. It for many of us, it takes a pummeling, you know. And the other thing I get out of this is that having a deep affection for my family, knowing the consequences of what happens when, you know, when I would return to the food, that never kept me sober, that never kept me abstinent. And I think, you know, some of the most painful experiences I've had is having deep affection for my family. I would lay in bed at night having just binged like unbelievable and having horrendous acid reflux. I thought I was like having a heart attack. My heart would be pounding in my ears. I had dangerously high blood pressure. My kids were sleeping across the hall, you know, in their bedrooms, and I was terrified. I'd wake up in the middle of the night terrified that I was having a stroke and my family was going to find me dead in the morning. And yet, what did I do in that moment? I like stumbled down the stairs and went back to the food. And incredibly painful, you know, that's incredibly painful. And what I've also come to find out is that I must have a spiritual life. Not just abstinence, of course abstinence, but I must look to enlarge and perfect, make better, improve my spiritual life. And because it is only, you know, the power of God, it is only an act of a miracle that can save someone like me, that can take me from, you know, binging all night and crying, you know, to someone who doesn't behave that way anymore and is able to be useful and helpful for other people when they're struggling and hopefully have some compassion for them. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. All right, we have Karen K. Followed by Pete B. Please go ahead, Karen.
Good morning, family. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. My name is Karen. And I'm from Mississippi, and there's a lot in this paragraph that really jumped out at me. And the first thing, where it says he made a beginning, how many beginnings did I make over and over again? Different programs, different things to try and overcome this horrible compulsive overeating issue. And all would go well for a time. There were, you know, there were some times when I got abstinent and I stayed abstinent for a minute. But I failed to enlarge my spiritual life. I basically would get through steps 1, 2, and 3, and I would do a step 4, but I was incapable of being rigorously honest for the longest time. And I finally heard somebody, and it clicked. And she asked me the question, are you being dishonest in any area of your life? And I was. And I finally admitted that. And you know, my abstinence began when I got rigorously honest. But I can still fail to enlarge my spiritual life. And, you know, my AA sponsor tells me all the time we're the only ones who will find a solution and stop doing it. And I do that often. You know, I will start slacking on going to meetings. I will start slacking on doing my daily practices that I know help me stay in this program. And, you know, it came back. I started being dishonest again. And I had to, you know, I got on a very slippery slope. And it took me a minute, but I finally got honest. And I was able to maintain that honesty and stay on my plan. And, you know, my life is amazing now as far as this goes. And it's, you know, that rigorous honesty can be hard. It's hard for me. My autopilot is, you know, make something up to make me look better or leave something out so I don't look bad. 'Cause that's dishonesty too. Not saying what you need to say is just as dishonest as lying about it. So that's really all I've got. I've really enjoyed the share so far, and I'm looking forward to hear more. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen Kay from Mississippi. And just a friendly reminder for those who might have come in a few minutes late, we are on page 35 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, third paragraph. Okie doke. Pete, you're up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Amy, for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. And my name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Yeah, I'd like to go back to that, right? We told him what we knew of alcoholism. So what did they know about alcoholism? Like, as we shared earlier, they knew it was an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, right? That both the mind and the body are different for alcoholics, right? But both the mind and the body have to be, you know, have to be considered. They're both different, right? But they didn't tell him things that they didn't know about alcoholism. It's the same things we don't know about alcoholism. Like, we don't know its origin. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know why we have it. We don't know why people take the first drink, even after the experiment of taking it a million times causes them to continue drinking. Right? That's because it's phenomena. It's phenomena. We don't know where it comes from. We have a sensitivity to these, you know, for us, certain foods and certain ingredients and certain behaviors. Right? The mental part of the condition, well, that's not exclusive to us. There are plenty of people who are unable to bring into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering caused by a pint of ice cream, and then choose to go out and have ice cream again. Right? We have to stop thinking or giving directions to people that if they only learn how to weigh and measure their emotions, they're going to be okay. If they can only go back far enough in their inventory and figure out where the resentments and their fears and their sexual bad sexual conduct came from or happened, you'll resolve the problem, because it doesn't. Because it's saying that the only solution is a spiritual experience. Now, the steps are an excellent proven method, 100% successful method of having a spiritual experience, but there are other ways to have one. Right? We don't have a monopoly on God. But the fact of the matter is that they must have explained to this person that no human power is going to save him. And the last thing I want to say, the reason why did they continue to work with him? The reason was, it wasn't to save Jim. It was to save themselves. Bill Wilson didn't leave the Mayflower Hotel to go out and save Dr. Bob. He went out and to save himself, right? So we continue to work with others so that it takes us out of us, which is in fact the problem. Selfishness and self-centeredness isn't relieved by more selfishness and self-centeredness. It's relieved by getting out of ourselves, and we do that by working with others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, PB from Pennsylvania. Okay, Anne Marie M., you are up, followed by Tony B., and then we'll take some more names. Go ahead, Anne Marie. Anne Marie, press star one to unmute, please. No,
okay, there we go. I was just introducing myself. So I'm in South Carolina, and through God's grace and mercy, I am recovering from compulsive overeating. The thing that stood out to me was a reminder on page 14, the bottom of the page, Bill's story, and he's just saying, for if an alcoholic fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice with others, he could not survive. But to enlarge his spiritual life, and that's what reminded me here on page 35, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. I made a beginning many times. Oh, many, many times I have made this beginning. And you know, his family was reassembled. He began to work as a salesman for the business he had lost. You know, I had recovered. I wasn't thinking about food. I wasn't, the obsession was relieved from me. I was doing well. I was sponsoring people. Everything was good. You know, I wasn't isolating, I wasn't crying, I wasn't driving to the convenience store trying to find my fix. You know, all of that was gone. Life was good, you know? And even though I had, was spiritually, you know, I enlarged my spiritual life, I didn't keep it up. Like it was just said, you know, I wasn't working steps 4 through 9. I failed to continue to enlarge my spiritual life. You know, for some reason I thought, you know, I got this. God and I are good. You know, I don't really need to do any more. I'm doing enough. I'm doing enough. And for me, this work is continuous. It's progressive. This work is progressive. The disease is progressive. Recovery is progressive, and the work is progressive. I need to keep working and enlarging my spiritual life. Not enlarge my spiritual life. I need to keep enlarging my spiritual life. Keep wanting, and I do. You know, today I do, and I hope I don't lose it because I've been here before. Believe me, I've been here before, and I need to remember that I need to keep enlarging my spiritual life. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thanks, Anne Marie. Where are you from? I don't think I caught it or who said it.
Oh, South Carolina.
All right. Thank you so much, Anne Marie M. from
You're
South
welcome.
Carolina. Okie dokie. Tony B., you are up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for your service. And thanks very much to Alice, the lead chair, and all of Team Tuesday. My name's Tony B. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scotland. I love this paragraph. It is packed. We told him what we knew of alcoholism. So part of what they're demonstrating, that answer, that they're working with him. You know, and it goes back to this of what is he thinking? That's the kind of question that they're asking when people drink again. What are they thinking? Could rather ask of what is he not thinking? You know, he's not thinking of others. Well, he perhaps hasn't got to that stage yet, even in his step work. But and of what is he not doing? You could say too. So, you know, I think this is showing us how the program works and how the program doesn't work. It does work by them talking to him, telling him about the disease of alcoholism and telling him the answer that they've found, which is a spiritual answer. And yes, this spiritual awakening comes as a result of working the steps and continuing to work the steps. And personally, I've found more than anything else, continuing to work with others, absolutely essential. And yes, this does remind me, you know, fail to enlarge his spiritual life. How do we enlarge our spiritual life? Through work and self-sacrifice for others. And I like this word consternation as well. It kind of, it suggests he's sort of like slightly pissed off about this. You know, it's a word that kind of suggests that he's irritated about it. How could this be, you know? What else was I thinking here? Yeah, that he made a beginning and then his life took over. And it seemed important to him to get work and to get his family back together. And it makes me think of the chapter later on. Which one is it? My mind just went completely blank. But where it says that, this is Tony B. brain dead. Sorry, just my neurons have stopped firing. That we mustn't put. Here we go. Oh, off on running again. We mustn't put family before recovery. We mustn't put money before recovery. And when I say recovery, I mean working towards getting a spiritual awakening, working towards getting this phenomenon to happen where our life is on a new life, actually. You know, I can't just go back to the old one. And I experienced that too, thinking I need a job. I need a husband. I need a man. These things were going on often when I put the food down for a while, and then, oh no, I think I need this. I think I need this. And my dependence goes into those things, but they mustn't come. That mustn't come first. So glad I got my brain going again. And with that, I'll share the time. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much, Tony B. Okay, just to remind everyone, we are on page 35, the third paragraph in the chapter More About Alcoholism, and we're ready to take some more shares. Friendly reminder. Hold on one second. Friendly reminder.
Liz F.
Shared in the last 2 days, Monday, Friday, on any vision meeting, we ask that you please step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope. Okay. So I got Deborah S, and then who else?
Reva P.
And I got Reva.
Roz G.
M.
Roz, somebody M.
Elsie
S.
Elsie, look like Elsie something.
W M.
Elsie. Elsie M. Okay.
Right.
Adrian N.
Adrian.
Liz S.
From Oregon.
Yeah, I think that is all we're going to be able to get in. Who was that last person? It sounded like far away.
Alice W.
Liz S.
Alice
from
W.
Oregon.
Ann W. Well, Ann, I'm not sure we'll get to you, but I will try. All right. We have got Devorah, Reva, Roz, Elise, Adrian, Liz F. Let's see how we do. Okay. Go ahead, Devorah.
Hi, it's Devorah B. from New Jersey. How are you? Thank you, everybody, for your previous shares. When it says he failed to enlarge his spiritual life, I so relate to that. I'm coming out of a 10-year off and on kind of relapse where I was always with sponsors, always with meetings, always starting day one, but never getting more than, you know, first it was a few months, then it was a few weeks, then it was a few days, always starting over. And it was because I failed to enlarge my spiritual life. And once I started hearing the message of surrender, of pausing, of turning to my Creator for everything, even when I make my to-do list in the morning, so or the night before. So before each thing, I need to ask myself, I need to ask God, is this what you would have me do now? Should I be skipping something? Is this what I should do now? I'm allowed to use my own intelligence, you know. I have it for a reason, to create the list and to think, well, you know, this is going to be important for today. But then I need to turn to Him always. And when I'm, like, you know, it says when I'm faced with indecision, then I turn to Him for an intuitive thought. And until I got that message, I was failing to enlarge my spiritual life. I was really running on a lot of self-will, and with a token prayer here and there, and a token, you know, working the steps here and there. But it took me a long time, and I feel like a little baby now, just learning how to crawl or learning how to walk. I forget, I go back into self-will, and then I remember, but I think I'm moving upward, trying more and more, willing more and more to turn my will and life over to Him. And I'm really grateful for hearing that message and for staying around long enough to hear it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everybody.
And if I could remind folks to mute their phones, we've got some background noise going on here. I don't know if that was DeVore's line or what, but if you could please make sure to check that your line is muted, we would appreciate it. Okay, you're up, followed by Roz G. Reva, press star one to unmute. Can't hear you, Reva. Reva, we lost you. You want to try again? Okay, well, we can come back to you, Reva.
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I think we're just trying to get rid of that background noise. Yeah, no worries. Please go ahead, Reva.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, and this is such a remember when this sentence, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. When I first came into program, I heard people tell me what they knew about compulsive overeating. I heard about the allergy of the body. I don't really think I understood. Maybe intellectually I could grasp, you know, twist of the mind, mental obsession, but I'm not sure I really got it. And the answer, okay, I heard there were 12 steps. And I made a beginning, and I don't remember if I went past step 3 and even started inventory. But this business of reviewing carefully, I kept getting into situations where it felt like suddenly, my hand was in the fridge, in a box, in a carton, with a spoon, shoveling food into my mouth. Like, how did that happen? And I am so grateful for the people, sponsor, fellows who worked with me and didn't just say, you know, go back to step one, whatever. I had no awareness. It wasn't like now. I had no awareness until people rewound in slow motion what happened before the suddenly. And I got to see that I was resentful, fearful, agitated, disturbed. I didn't even know. Like, I wouldn't have even been able to do a step 10 because I had no idea. It was like sleepwalking. And it gave me the awareness. It became learning opportunities. Oh, this is what they're talking about. These are the lies I'm telling myself before I pick up. I had to learn that. So thank you to all those people who reviewed carefully what had happened. And then today, even living in the steps 10, 11, and 12, I need to slow down and pause and work with others a lot of the time to share, because sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't see it as specifically. Where did I set the ball rolling? And I need to be awake every day. I need to continue. Because when I don't do that work, it's like I'm letting go of God's hand. I'm blocking the connection to this power that saves me from picking up the things that I ingest that destroy me logically, mentally, spiritually. I'm breaking the channel. So yeah, thank you to people who keep teaching me where did I block off God? And if I block off God, there's like I've blocked off my solution. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva P. from Canada. Roz G., you're up, followed by Elise M. Go ahead, Roz.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am from Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And I just want to talk about service and self-sacrifice. I listened to different big book teachers, and one of them was talking about, you know, what is sacrifice? And to me, you know, I'm not trying to sound like a martyr, but this is a sacrifice right now. I sacrifice a lot of sleep. I'm in California, and getting up at 4 a.m. to get on a phone meeting is sacrificing sleep. But it's a very good time for me because I have very little distractions, and I sponsor people at 5 in the morning. From 5 to 6 in the morning, I'm sponsoring people 5 days a week. And the other days, I'm taking, you know, we're still in contact, but I mean, I'm working the steps in some way with other people. And to me, that's a sacrifice because I'm sacrificing sleep, because I don't always get to bed at 9 o'clock as I'd like to. I try to. So to me, I'm sacrificing sleep. And when I, you know, sometimes I sacrifice my time when I get an outreach call, when I'm, you know, maybe it's not the most convenient, I will take it and I will make it. And sometimes I make these outreach calls, and I get to know people on a more personal basis. And I have, you know, the things that are going on in people's lives, I have no idea. So I really like, I believe that that's part of my program. And I'm not talking all that, talking kind of jagged because I'm still waking up. And then with the spiritual life, you know, I've gained such a deeper spiritual life through working these 12 steps. I have such a deeper spiritual life because of all, you know, listening to how everybody else has done it. And I have informed my own way over the years that, you know, I sit in a meditation time and I pray. And I listen to God, and I pause when I'm agitated, and I try to bring God's will into all of my activities throughout the day. And I think that's just been so important to make me a much more spiritual person. I'm trying every day. I know that if I miss days, I'm screwed, and I will find myself back eating, back in the food, and waking up with food hangovers, and those really suck. And I'm so grateful that I have my family today. I have my kids.
Time.
We have a very, thank you. I'll just say I have a great relationship with my kids. I'm so grateful for that. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz. I'm sorry. Yeah, Roz G. from California. So it looks like we've got about 6 minutes left. So we've got Elise and Adrian. Sorry, Liz and Ann, maybe you guys can share on the next hour. So, Elise, please go ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, this is Elsie M. from Pennsylvania. That's okay. I'm just really grateful to be on the line today to such a great meeting and hearing people talk about how important that spiritual peace how the spiritual recovery is so important, and failing to enlarge our spiritual life can be disastrous. I was taught by my sponsor how important doing a 10th step is, and working and living in 10, 11, and 12. And I am having the opportunity right now to watch my sponsor go through a very difficult time with a very sick spouse. And I'm watching her go through it with grace and dignity and with God holding her hand. And to see how much she works on her spiritual development and watching how that helps her with probably one of the hardest things she's ever going to deal with. He's pretty terminal. So to just watch that process, because she sends me her 11th step, and in her gratitude, she talks about how much God is there and how much, you know, whatever she prays for, God's will. And that's what a spiritual life allows us to do, is to face the hard things without picking up, you know, to get through life on life's terms without picking up. And I just am honored to be a part of this process with her and to watch her go through it. And I am so grateful that I understand how important it is to do steps 4 through 9, which is really what a 10th step is, and then also working 11 and 12. So I thank you all for that, and I pass.
Thank you so much, LCM from Pennsylvania. All right, Adrian, you are up.
Hi, it's Adrian Ann in Florida. I hate to share, and I have to force myself. So I'm going to be really fast and say, I think my issue is that I haven't surrendered 100%. 100% of the time. So there's plenty of times that I've surrendered and I don't pick up. But yet, over the course of the last 5 decades, there's been many times that I've picked up. And I don't know, you know, the forgetter in me, the slow learner in me, I don't know what it is, but thank God I haven't picked up in a while, and with that, I'll pass.
Okay, well, thank you, Adrian N. Liz S., we've got 2 minutes if you want to go ahead.
Yes, please. Can you hear?
I can.
Great. Liz S. from Oregon. 2 things. I like to relate my spiritual life to the physical world because it helps me relate to the spiritual world. I used to run compulsively, and I learned that I have to stretch. Now it says continue to enlarge. Well, I have to stretch my spiritual life every day, because overnight, or through the previous day, if I don't do an 11th step, or even if I do, sometimes it kind of constricts and I get a little self-focused. So I have to stretch my awareness. I have to stretch my muscles before I run through the day. I have to brush my teeth every day. They collect gunk. And if my spirit collects gunk, I can't reach out as effectively, and God can't reach me as effectively as otherwise. So keep stretching, keep getting rid of the gunk. I have to remember that. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz S. from Oregon, and that was Adrian N. from Florida. Forgot to mention that. Okay, so thank you everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, May 5th, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,432. 23432. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Judy N. please read A Vision for You? Go ahead, Judy.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.